Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. This is episode 316 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever this week. And coming up on the show, we'll be hearing all about reactions, goalkeeping, coaching, as we have Eddie Johnson popping into the studio. Julian Elcock will be on the phone from the Pauline Quirk Academy of Performing Arts, finding out about an event taking place this weekend at the Lighthouse. Our featured band are Chasing Deer. We'll have a listen to some of their music and a natter with a couple of the lads. And also Simon Quinn from Fired Up Theatre will be letting us know about their latest project, which involves murder mysteries across our area. But first of all, Aliens Love Underpants is at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from Wednesday the 22nd through to Friday the 24th of July. To tell us more about the show, one of the cast, Alex James Ellison. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
How you doing?
Yeah, wonderful. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. First of all, should we clarify, you're not actually an alien, are you?
No, I'm not, sadly. I wish I was.
Tell us about your role in the production.
I play Timmy, who is the leading young boy. He's a 7-year-old and he wants to be an astronaut when he grows up. And it's my pants that get stolen by these mischievous aliens. That's the role, really.
So it brings to life a book which loads of kids will have read across our area and will have really enjoyed the magic of. And it actually comes to the stage. And you're actually getting to meet some of the aliens in full life size.
Yes. Life-size aliens. What I think is translated really well is the details of the book which have been put into the show, because mostly the book is it's a kind of poem. It's got all the ideas of this world which the aliens are in, but there's not actually a story in the book. Adam Bampton-Smith, who adapted it, he has made up his own story, but then used all of the elements from the books. Like, there's so much detail in it. When I've looked back at the book and looked at the costumes and the props and the set, it's all come from the book, which is really nice.
So where is it set?
It's set just in a ordinary town. So you see like the school scene. There's a school scene where the kids are at school and they're learning about space and stuff, where Timmy says he wants to be a spaceman. And then you see like his bedroom, and then they actually go up into space, which is cool.
Now, during the show, obviously underpants feature quite heavily, and it must be quite distressing for poor Timmy to have his underwear nicked.
Yes, I mean, it's distressing for anybody, but a 7-year-old boy. I think it's a really nice bit for the kids who are watching, is when the underpants actually get stolen, because we use all sort of different magic and different tricks to show the underpants going. And so, when Timmy finds out his underpants are gone, he's quite excited. It's aliens. And then eventually he accidentally walks in on them whilst they're in his bedroom and gets sucked up into their spaceship.
So how many aliens do we meet during this experience?
You meet 5 aliens. There's the 3 main aliens, and then there's 2 cheeky other aliens, which you do meet as well. But it's the 3 main ones too. But and they're all from the book as well. If you know the book well, you'll be able to spot your favourite alien and stuff.
So who's your favourite alien?
I like Coops, who's a little red one, because she's really cheeky and she's quite young and naive. The cheeky 2 aliens are Coops and Dex, which are the red and the blue ones. And so they're kind of like just a little duo, always getting told off by the other alien.
And how does this tie in with the rest of your work? You do quite a lot of music too, so does that incorporate in the show in any way?
There's singing in the show, but in terms of my own music and my writing, there's not much in that. But what I have been able to do is use the tour, because we're going to different places all the time, and because the shows were in the days, so it's a really good opportunity for me to kind of perform in the evenings and do gigs around the place. But obviously the show has music and stuff in and singing and dancing. And
yeah, it uses all your talents to get you on stage and you get to share all that with the audience who come along. What sort of age range do you think this is aimed at?
I think starting from 3 up to about 10, although we do have younger than that as well. So I think because even like babies and toddlers and stuff, they love the colours and the animated characters and stuff. So they do enjoy it. It's just we say it's aimed at 3 to sort of 10. So it's nice because there's bits for all different ages in there, and even for adults and stuff. It's very well rounded in terms of topics, the adults' time as well.
And we do notice that on the website for the live show, underpantslive.com, does mention all of the cast's favourite underwear. And so, will you be wearing your favourite pants during your running Wolverhampton?
I hope so. I hope so. I do love them. I've got quite a lot of Harry Potter merchandise on me, actually.
So your Harry Potter Gryffindor pants will be there?
Gryffindor pants, yes, they will be there in Wolves.
Brilliant. Alex, great having a chat with you. The gig itself, that is on Wednesday the 22nd through Friday the 24th of July. There are various shows for that one, as you just mentioned. They are all during the daytime. On Wednesday the 22nd, you've got a 2 o'clock and a 4:30. On Thursday, 11 a.m, 2 o'clock. And then on Friday, the 11 a.m. And each of those performances priced at £12.50. For more information, go to grandtheatre.co.uk or call the box office on 01902 429212. But it'd be great if we can get you to come and play some music for us in the studio when you're around and about.
Amazing, yeah, that'd be great.
Cheers. Lovely. Alex, great speaking to you. Thanks for that.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Right, it's about time we took some music from our featured band this week. They are Chasing Deer, and this is Maybe.
I got no need for motivation. Each day drives itself. I've been working on a lack of everything I need. This is how it is. More work and less play. But maybe that is the only way. I've been trying so hard to achieve so little. Each day getting shorter and this stack of work bigger. I've been waiting for the day that I can look back and say the result is worth all this crap. And now in my head, like an HD screen. This 100-piece puzzle had almost finished. Just a few more pieces without a place. Not long till the day that I can look back and say the result is worth all this crap.
Got together in 2012 and they've been exciting people across the Midlands with their fantastic selection of songs. To tell us more about it, we've got Rob on the line. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, how are you?
Yes, good, thank you, yeah.
So, what's been going on then? Because you've been working blimmin' hard, I hear.
We have, yeah, we've been all over the place this summer so far at local festivals and things like that. We're actually a 5-piece called Chasing Deer and we do our own original material and we're kind of a rock pop band.
So, as rock pop, does that mean pretty much anything goes? You can play whatever you like as long as you all enjoy it?
Yes, yeah. Our only rule is that it's a good tune, really. We've got a lot of influences from various styles of music. Each one of us in the band has different influences. So you can hear that in all our music coming across.
So yeah, we just heard Maybe, and is that really sum up all of your sound, or is there many, many more different genres you could kind of fit in within that?
There are. Our upcoming EP has six tracks, original tracks on there, and every one of them is a different style, really. We span quite a few genres of music, and Maybe in particular is kind of a subway pop tune that goes down well with the crowds. In the chorus, they're all singing along.
And it must be great getting that sort of reaction, but it's because you're working so hard and playing to so many people, they know the tunes and they're coming back and listening to you again and again.
Yes, hopefully, yeah. We do go all over the UK, but we encourage people to come along to our more regular gigs that we do locally to us in Warwickshire.
So you're actually based in Warwickshire, but it's a nice central location. And what gigs have you got coming up in the Midlands in the near future?
So we have a gig at the O2 Academy in Birmingham on the 24th, Friday the 24th of July. I'm actually headlining that show there. So that will be with four or five other local bands. And then that's a really good one to come to. We've got one in Leicester on the 23rd as well, a place called the Pie Bar, which is well known for good music in Leicester.
So plenty of opportunities to see you. But of course, your music is available online as well. So where do people go if they want to find out more about you?
So we've got a website, chasingdeer.co.uk. We're available on Facebook and Twitter as well. And we're on iTunes, Amazon Music, all the digital stores. You can find us on there.
And whilst you're there in the car, I believe you've got Adam sat next to you at the moment, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I'll pass
it on. Check him over. That's great. Adam, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
So what's your role in the band?
Well, I play drums, help out in the songwriting, and just do a lot of booking of the shows. I work as a promoter myself, so I have contacts all over. And I've just booked as a tour in August and September to promote the upcoming EP.
And it must be good when you've actually got such a great product that you're so happy with taking it out to people.
Yeah, we're very excited for it. We've been working on the CD for a year now, me and Rob together, and we've had ups and downs, and it's brilliant to finally have something that we can now sell and get out to people.
How would you, from a drumming point of view, sum up your style?
Very changed as of recently. I was a metal drummer for most of my life, but recently I started looking at a lot of older drummers like Stuart Copeland, for example, and trying to write drum beats that go well with the songs, trying to play what's best for the music, really.
Well, keep up the good work. We're looking forward to hearing more of it now. We're going to take a track called Just an Excuse. It's good to talk to you, and we look forward to seeing you out on the road around the area very soon. Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Too loud. It's hard to feel alone and left out.
high and hold on. Yeah, it's just an excuse to fall in love again. These are the days we never should forget.
Excuse from Chasing Deer. Now, a while ago, we heard all about the Pauline Quirk Academy of Performing Arts in Wolverhampton, and I'm joined now by their principal, Julian Alcock. Hello.
Hello there, how you doing?
I'm good, you all right?
No, not bad at all, thank you, mate.
You've got your popcorn ready for a trip to the cinema this weekend, haven't you?
That's correct, yes. We show the films that the students make during the lessons on a Saturday morning with us normally, in a special way, rather than trying to give them a disc or something like that with the films on. We actually book a cinema and show the films on the big screen and give them a chance to see themselves where the stars normally appear up on that screen.
You're going to be taking over a fantastic venue because you're down at the Lighthouse.
That's
and
cool.
Lovely two-screen cinema, but you're going to have all of your films on stage, as it were, for the parents to see.
Absolutely, yes. All the students and parents come along and we show their films and we make them try to appear as professional as we can, and we use all the idents and things at the beginning, so it make an entire show of it and give them a chance to see the work they've done.
And when you're editing these things together, obviously you're doing it in a very cinematic way to make this look as big as possible. And what input do the kids have during the editing process? Are they sat down on the gear, putting clips in, throwing music in, that sort of thing as well?
Generally, the editing's done by the teaching staff because it's an extraordinarily long and slow process.
I know about that, yes.
Absolutely. And we find that it's, for the kids within the confines of the lessons on a Saturday, there isn't really the time to do that. But they will have an input into how they see the film looking, and then we take that in the weekday and make it into what we can.
And when these things are up on screen, it must be amazing for the kids seeing their work, you know, several feet high up in the air. Or metres to them, they won't know what feet are.
Absolutely. No, they haven't got a clue. They love to see it, and we've done these screenings before with other academies, and you can sit in the audience, as soon as they appear, you hear, that's me, Dad. It's brilliant, and they get so excited by it.
And this is all part of the regular sort of thing that you do down at the Pauline Quirk Academy. So give us the sites where you are, because you have Wolverhampton and Bridge North.
Well, we have the Wolverhampton and Bridge North, which are run by myself and my wife. There are then about 130 other academies around the country. So we cover a huge area, running all the way from, I think Exeter in the south up to Edinburgh in the north.
So plenty of opportunities to get your kids down there.
That's right.
And it's very interactive. You'll run through, you'll have set goals for them, and I know that when we were having a chat when you were doing some stuff in Compton in the Park, things like you're looking forward to the Christmas Panto, so they know what they've got coming up and how their role in that is going to be formed.
We plan way in advance. I've got theatres booked for Christmas and for next summer, and I'm already looking at 2017 and 2018 with a view to how we're going to progress through that time, what disciplines will actually have priority during that period, and we've got exams scheduled as well, So we're looking way into the future to ensure that there's constantly something going on, something new happening, and opportunities for them to develop and try out new things.
So this event at the Lighthouse on Sunday is just for the parents, really, isn't it?
It is. There's, with the number of students we have, by the time you take students and a couple of parents each, we're going to pretty much fill that theatre.
And when it comes down to, you know, the other events, there may be some tickets available to the public, but if you've got kids who ought to be involved, or you're one yourself, what do they do to get involved and how much is the cost?
All they need to do is go to the website at www.pqacademy.com or call 0800 531 6282.
That's 0800 531 6282. Give them a shout down there. And, of course, that web address again, pqacademy.com. And what age group are you catering for?
We'll cater from about 3.5 all the way up to 18.
So a wide range of people. That must be a nightmare for you guys, keeping them all occupied and educated. But
No, it's absolutely great.
You must love every minute of it, I know. It's hard work, though, I'm guessing.
It can be, but it's incredibly rewarding.
Julian, thank you for joining us. Keep up the good work, and I hope you have a fantastic time. Popcorn in hand down at the Lighthouse for the Academy families down there this weekend.
Fantastic. Great to talk to you.
Ta for now.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
One more song from Chasing Deer. This is Step Into the Light.
Kicked out of the tavern, feeling tired and weak, face bruised and battered, blood ran down my cheek. I swear I heard a whisper, though dazed and half asleep, and the words reached out to me. For lonely hours on that cold and windy night, pushing through the darkness towards a distant light. And again I heard the voice which gave me such a fright, and the words reached out to me. Step into the light, step into the light, 'cause you know we will provide. Step into the light, step into the light, 'cause you know we will provide. Reach the edge of the shadows, the end of my despair, for I saw a holy preacher waiting for me there. He told me he could wipe away all of my worldly cares with his arms reached out to me. Ran into the chapel and fell down to the floor. I found sanctuary from all I drank away before, and shining right above me, its words reached out to me. Yeah. Step into the light, step into the light, 'cause you know we will provide. Step into the light, step into the light, 'cause you know. Ways a brand new man reborn, despite the sad excuse for shoes and ragged clothes are torn. But the preacher laughed and shouted out, we're drinking until dawn, with a glass reached out to me. Step into the light, step into the light, 'cause you know we will provide. Step into the light, step into the light, 'cause you know we will.
our featured band Chasing Deer, and that was Step Into the Light. For a number of years now, Fired Up Theatre have been doing great things across the Midlands and, in fact, across the country. Simon Quinn is their founder and joins me on the line now. Hello.
Hello, Jason.
How are you doing?
I'm not so bad, yourself?
Oh, I'm all right. Now, come on, I've known you for probably, what, over a decade. It must be maybe 15 years now. And I've known that you've done a load of different projects, whether it be something with the mining community in Cannock to various things around schools and other events. And you've got a brand new part of the Fired Up Theatre franchise.
Yeah, the original parent organisation is still going. We've been doing a lot of work over in Staffordshire, doing projects on rock operas and local naval heroes and et cetera, to just to sort of implement our diversity. But one thing that came out was every time we took on some new people who wanted to be part of the setup, because we like to use people who've got a lot of experience, some experience or no experience at all, we kind of found a niche to improve improvisation and characterisation by doing murder mysteries. They've sort of took off in a reasonably large way. We've been doing them in such a diverse venues, such as local libraries, which are part of local councils. We've been doing them in tea rooms. We've been doing them in theatre venues. And it kind of struck us that maybe we could offer this out to businesses as a way of improving team role play or camaraderie within, you know, a group of, say, a typing pool or a telephone operations setup. Or we could just offer it out as a themed event for people to enjoy. So that's what we've done. We've set this up now. It's been going reasonably well in Staffordshire, but now we'd like to really sort of go out into the Black Country, Wolverhampton, Walsall, Sandwell, and see if it's something that businesses, hotels, local voluntary organisations, charities, etc. would like to take us up on.
Because all you really need is a venue that can cope with a number of actors and your usual staff taking part in a special event. As long as you cordon everything off and you know that the body isn't real, it's going to be a bit of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing, Jason, is it doesn't matter what size venue is. For example, last year we did a murder mystery event in an Edwardian tea room in Essington.
I know the one.
You know the one, the Edwardian tea room?
Yep.
Yeah, and that probably accommodated about 30 people, and it sold out well in advance of us doing the project. Other examples, not so long back, we did them in a theatre which can hold about 400 or 500 people. So the venue, the size of the venue is immaterial, and you could actually do them outdoors as well. So, and the number of actors depends on the actual event, because we can actually tailor make the murder mystery to suit what the business is. So, for example, if it was a local charity I wanted to use it, or a golf club, we could actually tailor-make the murder mystery narrative to suit the specific site that we're doing it at. Or if they wanted a generic one, like a Sherlock Holmes one or a Foyle's War one, then we can do that as well.
Yeah, but you've got some stuff off the shelf where you can work out what they need and make it all happen
exactly
for them. But you can also incorporate their people into the cast, or just have everybody as sleuths.
You can do either. In fact, in terms of improving the team building confidence for those businesses that we would go out to, it'd be good if it was interactive, so actually involving their staff within our staff as well. Or if they wanted something just as they were giving a reward, a pat on the back for good sales figures or whatever, we can just put on the show for those people. It's all a question of what they want, we can design to fit.
So as you say, that fits in with all the other work that Fired Up Theatre does. And if you look at your website there, you can see the massive back catalogue, so you know the sort of people you'll deal with. It is a professional setup. I know from when we've talked about your work in the past that there's some really good things that take place. And it just the clients you've had in the past, including city councils and various other groups like that, you know that you are a pucker community-based quality organisation.
That's what we're aiming to be. That's the remit. So yes, Jason, that's absolutely right.
So what is the website and how do people get in touch?
www.firedupthatre.co.uk, or if you want to go on Facebook, there are actually two setups for Facebook. facebook.com/firedupthatre, and then you also do the same but just add on murder mysteries after Fired Up Theatre. So you can see the educational community work we do under Fired Up Theatre, or the Murder Mysteries has a separate page. And then Twitter, Simon Quinn at Fired Up Theatre.
And you can get it all that way. Brilliant. Well, Simon, always good to speak to you. I look forward to maybe coming along to one of your murder mystery events. And if there is something taking place in our area that is maybe open to the public, I look forward to hearing from you. We can have a chat about that too.
And to you too, Jason. Thank you very much.
Catch you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
Now, next week here on the Milk Bar, we have two featured artists. To give you a bit of a flavour of what's coming up, we're going to have a little listen now to one of the instrumental tracks produced by Son of the Wind. Eddie Johnson from Reaxor's Goalkeeping Coaches joins us in the studio. And it's been a while since we had a chance to catch up, so hello, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm good. You all right?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Good. What's been going on in the world of your goalkeeper coaching, then?
We are expanding, not at the waistline, but at the, line.
You are looking still fairly lithe, so we can't say anything about your physical appearance. However, you seem to be coaching here, there and everywhere at the moment.
That's right. We've recently opened a school in the Tipton area, which I spoke to you about last time I was here, probably about a year or so ago.
Uh-huh.
That's going well now. We've got 15 or 16 students in there, and we have started to develop the girls' coaching side of things. We've currently got two or three girls that are coaching with us. We've still got the school in Stafford and the school in Stoke, which are still running strong. We're now looking at opening one in Rugeley, mainly because it's a good area to bring in Lichfield and Warsaw football teams from the local grassroots leagues. But our main aim in the near future, hopefully either later this year or early next, is to open the long-awaited Wolverhampton school.
Yeah, you've had people travelling all over at the minute, so you want to get something a bit closer to them. But that also means that you're also looking for extra people.
Absolutely. One of the biggest things at the moment is for us to find some coaches to assist, because currently all the coaching is done by myself. And when you're coaching four nights a week with five separate sessions on top of your day job, it starts to get to the point where you don't see your family and such like that. So I do need some assistance. However, I'm not prepared to compromise the quality of the coaching by just having anybody who can throw a ball. Mm-hmm. We need some qualified goalkeeper coaches, or people who are prepared to get qualified who perhaps have played in goal. So that's where we are at the moment. But to move forward, we need to get some help.
So you'll be looking at their CVs, working out what they have to offer already, and they will then probably want to go for a qualification, which they would fund because they're going to be getting work from you.
Potentially, yes, but also we have got the position now, because we've sort of become a brand rather than just one guy coaching. We have got a situation where there is a little bit of loose cash about, so the right candidate, we could possibly help fund some of their qualifications. We have actually got a guy who's joined us, who's an ex-professional goalkeeper, played for Crewe, and was historically on the books at Newcastle United at one point, but his career was cut short through injury. He's joined us because he wants to get into coaching, and I'm hoping that he will have passed his level one coaching badge last weekend, and then we'll help him to go through his goalkeeping badges. He's fully qualified in terms of experience to coach goalkeepers because he's done it at all levels professionally.
He just wanted a bit of paper as well.
Got to have the bit of paper to make it legal, and all the CRBs and safeguarding children and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, really looking forward to working with him. And others that may or may not come on board, but we are trying not to compromise by just desperately getting a coach, because there's, with due respect to all the people out there, there's lots of coaches out there. Mm-hmm. But goalkeeper coaching is a very specific field.
And it's the passion that you've got for it that you want to instill in others, and if you haven't got the right person, that's not going to happen.
No, exactly. I mean, it's like any quality brand, and I was about to use McDonald's as an example. When you go to McDonald's, it's always the same. Wherever you go in the world, if you walk into a McDonald's, you get the same sort of stuff. Now, if you don't like it, that's fair enough, but it is the same quality wherever you go. And that's what we want Reactions Goalkeeper Coaching to be like, is that whenever you come to a Reactions Goalkeeper Coaching school, whether it's Stoke-on-Trent or Wolverhampton, or if it turns out to be Worcester or wherever we go to next, that the quality of the coaching is going to be the same. And the ethics of the company are the same.
Yep, it's about making sure that you're giving the right experience and the right skills to any set of kids that are coming your way.
Exactly.
And what are the success stories have you got at the moment?
We've currently got a couple of guys that have been coaching with us for a period of time that have been accepted into local academies. They're obviously only at this current time on a trial period, so we're hoping that they'll do well with those academies. Mm-hmm. One lad is only 6 years old, who's been into, I think it was Aston Villa Academy, Wolves Academy and West Brom over a period of about 6 months. I think he's currently with Stoke, so they're all sort of after him. He's a keen footballer, but he is only 6 years old, seven years old.
So he's got to find his path through all of that. Yeah,
I mean, I've tried to advise his dad that, you know, it's very, very early. Don't worry about him being accepted or not being accepted at this level.
The fact the interest there just goes to show he's got a potential future.
Yeah, I mean, it's a compliment to us in some ways that they're taking an interest in him, but the fact that they are taking an interest means there is something there, and hopefully if he continues with us and with the professional clubs, he's going to develop and maybe one of the stars of the future.
Yep, and maybe one of the stars of the events that you have coming up, including some of your charity events. I know you're planning ahead for 2016, your continued support for their ambulance.
That's right, yeah. We've still working on behalf of Donna Louise Trust, which we adopted as one of our sponsored charities a few years ago. But we've also now adopted the County Air Ambulance as another charity that we support. We did a big charity event for Donna Louise last year, and that raised £1,500, which was excellent. We did a little goalkeeper marathon, which I think was the last time we spoke to you.
It could well be, yeah.
But we've sort of had a year off sort of this year because we've been trying to regroup and build the schools. But next year we want to have a big push, and we haven't fully decided on what we're going to do, but it'll be some extravagant activity where we can send all the goalkeepers that are currently coaching with us out into their local communities to get sponsorship. We'll obviously, as a company, try to raise other sponsorship as well. We're looking to try and break the £2,000 barrier. I'd love to do £5,000 because I like to aim big, but mm-hmm. if we can break £2,000, that'll be a minimum of £1,000 per charity, or potentially a lot more, which will be great. And the sort of resulting publicity for us obviously is going to help us along. Hopefully a few more people will get to know what Reactions Goalkeeper Coaching is about. And to be absolutely blunt, it's not all about coaching.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to give back a bit into the community and also trying to help kids develop in all sorts of ways, not just becoming goalkeepers, but keeps them off the streets.
And it's confidence building as well, isn't it? So that's, you know, that's the important part of all of this. It's allowing them to interact, to mingle, and really set themselves up for their future life, depending on what they choose to do.
Yeah, so certainly our ethic and our sort of tagline, if you like, is learn, understand, practice, excel. And we preach this to them sort of on a daily basis, that they're coming to us to learn and understand, and then they can go away to their relevant teams and practice. And if they do all three, that they will excel. But that's equally as pertinent to their life as well as just football. Because if you're not prepared to learn and understand, you're not going to be able to practice. And if you don't practice, you won't excel.
This is it.
So, we think it's going to help them in all ways.
Well, give us your web address so people can find out all the details about all the clubs and their sites.
Yeah, certainly. The website address is www.reactionsgk.com. You can also go on .co.uk or .net, which is the ironic one.
That's the one you enjoy most.
I do. I like that one.
Well, good to see you. Thanks for coming in. And we look forward to finding out more as you've got your events coming up. And do come back and see us then. And let us know when the Wolverhampton class is finally open.
I certainly will. That will be superb. And I appreciate all the help you give me in promoting them.
No problem at all. And just finally, how do people get in touch if they know someone who is an appropriate goalkeeping coach, or it's something that they're doing and they want to see if they can join the team?
Yeah, there's multiple ways to get in touch, but the easiest methods are either by emailing via the website, or you can email me direct on info@reactionsgk.co.uk, or alternatively you can find us on Facebook, which is listed as Reactions GK, or you can tweet to us @ReactionsGK. So it's all very simple and straightforward.
Lots of ways of doing it. Get in touch, though. If that's you, or if you know someone who needs goalkeeper coaching, then have a chat with Eddie and the team. And also, you're looking at a bit of a social media project at the moment with your interviews with goalkeepers.
That's correct, yeah. We just had the idea that we would try to get some pearls of wisdom from people who've been there, done that. And we thought we'll start trying to do some verbal interviews or video interviews, if we can, with some either up-and-coming or famous or ex-professional goalkeepers or sports people in general. Started off on our route with Lee Kendall, who's the England ladies goalkeeper coach, which obviously he's done very well lately because they've just won the bronze medal in the World Cup.
So he's obviously doing a good job.
Yeah. Then more locally to us, I had an interview with a friend of mine, Mel Eaves, who's obviously the ex-Wolves midfield legend.
Mm-hmm.
And he put me in touch with Phil Parks, one of the ex-Wolves goalkeepers.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to speaking to Phil sometime in the near future and doing a little interview with him. All these interviews can be found either via our website as and when they're uploaded, but at the moment they are currently available through our YouTube channel, or you can find them on the Facebook page or the Twitter feed. So you can have a look at and listen to these videos, which are split down into little 1-minute segments. But what we aim to do is to try and create a little referral trail from goalkeeper to goalkeeper, eventually culminating in some of the bigger names, such as Gordon Banks certainly would be a big aim for us, and any of the more famous names, so that we can pass some of their genius onto the up-and-coming goalkeepers of the West Midlands.
Daddy, it's good to see you.
Thank you.
That's your lot for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to you being here with us next week. We'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.